to gain a deeper insight into what Golus really means for Klal Yisrael, to be mechazak ourselves in our emunah, that really Kolman David Rachman and the Tav of it, and the Golos is really part of a tikkun leading us to the tikkun HaGadol and Rets Hashem of the Geula. But let's begin with a few questions. Firstly, why was it that Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the Rabban Shel Kol Yisrael, had to grow up and be raised in a palace, in the Beis Paroi, in the Avi Avos HaTumah? He was even almost considered like a grandson of Paroi. Vayigdal HaYeled Vatevayu Lebeil Bas Paroi. Moshe was like almost like a son of Bas Paroi. Rashi brings down even the Shemineu Paris Moshe al Beisoy. Moshe was in charge of Paris palace. What did Moshe Rabbeinu need all this for? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu need such a strange introduction to his life? The Tosa continues. He saw an Egyptian smiting a Jew. He killed a Mitzri. Now, in these psukim, we have to understand the following things. First of all, that it's mashma that this all happened immediately as he left the palace and vayetze lechov. That's how it's written. Vayetze lechov v'yabes v'loisam v'yayish Mitzri makim. What's the oimek ha'inyan when Moshe Rabbeinu walked out and straightaway starts killing Egyptians? And it's Yadua that the Pasuk doesn't say that Moshe Rabbeinu actually killed him. It just says Vayach Vayitmenei Bechol. Doesn't say that he actually killed him. And Rashi really brings down Pasuk Gedalet that Moshe Rabbeinu killed the Mitzri B'Shem HaMasoyrish. Question is, Dafka, why does Moshe Rabbeinu use the Shem HaMasoyrish to kill up the Mitzri Rasha? Why should he kill who waste the Shem HaMasoyrish for killing a Mitzri? And Rashi says in the Pasuk of Ayaki Enish, that Moshe Rabbeinu looked through all the generations and saw that no one was ever going to convert to Judaism from this Egyptian's descendants. Now the obvious question is that where other times we find that the Jews killed the enemies, we don't find that they have to look into future generations. Why Dafka over here? What's it symbolizing that he had to look into all the future generations of this Egyptian? Dosan Vaviron, we're Malshin of Moshe. What did Dosan Vaviron have against Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu was killing their enemy, was killing an Egyptian who was smiting Jews. Why did it disturb them that Moshe Rabbeinu killed? And especially smashma from the psukim that it disturbed them that Moshe Rabbeinu killed him, the Meshem and Mefarish. Is what did they have against killing somebody with the Meshem and Mefarish? And then we know Moshe Rabbeinu flees, and he flees to Midian. And who was, and the Kohen Midian, Yisrael was the Kohen Midian, and he had seven daughters. Rashi says that he was the Rav Shaban, or Pirish Lem Avodas Kechovim, and Iduo Meyetzlam. He was the Rav, he was the priest, he was the king. But they excommunicated him because he gave up his belief in Avodas Zarah. And obviously, because we know that every prat in the story of the Torah is absolute Menduyak B'Tachlis, so it must be that this prat of Yisrael having been excommunicated must be intrinsically connected to the story over here in Shemois, and this must be relating why and how Moshe Rabbeinu arrived in Midian. So what's the connection of Moshe arriving with Midian with Yisrael's excommunication? The emphasis is that Moshe Rabbeinu's connection to Midian seems really a very solid connection. As Rashi brings to the beginning of Parshas Balak, that why did Balak from Moav go to Midian to seek out somebody to take care of Klal Yisrael to destroy them? Ma ra Moav litel eitzah mi Midian, amru manhigam shaleilu, because his advisors, Balak's advisor, told him that the manik Moshe Rabbeinu, the Midianist god, was raised in Midian, and therefore nishal mehem amidosay. So he sees that Moshe Rabbeinu was mashma kielu the zebachina that he was raised in Midian. What's the connection of Moshe Rabbeinu to Midian? And what's especially difficult is we know because till Moshe Rabbeinu arrived in Midian, it says that on the way he went to Cush. Chazal say he was 40 years in Cush, and he was the melech of Cush, and he married an Isha Cushes, etc. But the Torah doesn't mention anything about it. It's worth looking up the Ksava Kabbalah, who brings up this point. Why does the Torah not mention anything about Moshe's years in Cush? And why does the Torah mityaches directly Moshe Rabbeinu to Midian straight away, as if he fled straight from Mitzrayim to Midian? And then Moshe marries Zipporah, and he has two children. One, the first, is called Ger Shalom, because he says, Ger ha-yisi beretz machriya. What's the Torah? Why do you call somebody, why do you call one of his kids al shem that he was ger or yisi baritz nachriya? What's the message that Moshe Rabbeinu is conveying over here? And the second son he called Kelekeavi Be'ezri Vayatzileini Mecherev Paroi. So you see that both his children are called al shem Moshe Rabbeinu's life in Mitzrayim, the happenings to him in Mitzrayim. What's the oimek of it? What's the message with these two names, Gershon and Eliezer? And then we move on to the continuation of the parasha, where we get to the snit. Vayover el ha'ala kim chereva, vayam al ha'shem elav, v'labas eish mitoich ha'sneh, vayav hini ha'sneh, boye ba'eish ha'sneh, enenu okam. Now, but Vadai, the story of the snare is Nisayda Satoira. We haven't got any shemets of a musug of the oimek of this parasha of the snare. But nevertheless, let's try to scrape a tip of minayam to give us a minimal understanding of what's going on over here. Firstly, let's delve into the idea of Har Sinai being called Har Chareva over here. Vayob el ha'alakim chareva, Chazal Dash and Gemara and Shabbos Peites, the ha'alakim chareva is Har Sinai. Why was it called Chareva, says the Gemara there? Sheyorodo churba li'akum olav. Ha-Sinai was a churban to the Akum. And the Medrash Rabba and Shemois Rabba says the same thing. Va-Chareva, va-Hagoyim, chorev, yechruvu. Where do we find the idea of churban by Ha-Sinai? Where do we find that Ha-Sinai, Matan Torah, was a churban for the Akum? And Bechlal, why dafka over here? When Moshe Rabbeinu is receiving his gilui of the sned, does the Torah choose to bring out this point that Har Sinai is the makom of korban for the goyim? Why? And what's the pshat that HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears, or the Malach appears mitoich hasned, from within the sned? And again it says Vayashem ki sol lirois vayikra elav elekim mitoich hasned. What's this meaning of mitoich hasned? And Chazal say, explain, what does it mean? Shal no lecho mi'al raglecho, take your shoes off. Tidua, that Chazal explained that the nalayim, the shoes, correspond to the guf, and therefore the makom kodesh, one has to be mispashet one's physicalities from oneself. Again, why is that being nisbarer over here? That the guf is only like a nal, and it can be taken off, it's not an intrinsic part of the person. Why is this message being conveyed again over here by this snip? But the answer to these questions is with the following yisur. Let me read you out a few lines of the Mehelag Maharal Netzach Yisrael, and he says the same Yisrael in Gvurat Hashem as well. His lashon is the following: Ein roi olam hazeh el Yisrael am kodesh. Olam hazeh is not roi if Yisrael am kodesh. Ki olam hazeh she'ein ay kodesh shu gashmi ve'ein ba kedusha lekis ein roi lohem. Rak olam haba hu olam hakodesh hanivdal roi lohem. So b'kitzur, Klal Yisrael is not roi for olam hazeh; it's roi for olam haba. The Teda Batovin continues the Marab. Ki kasher ata roya shleimus u'umet. When we see that the goyim here in Olam Hazeh reach their ultimate, they reach their shleimus, their koach, their power. Teda, that's a proof. Shazeh u'tachlisam v'soifam. That's it for them. In oimdim l'shleimus acha yosa godl mizeh. Aber Yisrael einam kach. Acha shatire shehem einam b'shleimusam v'Olam Hazeh. We see that Klal Yisrael don't reach any shleimus in Olam Hazeh. It must be that they haven't reached their shleimus. And later on, the Ramal says, "Ein kiloin behefsed lehem b'olam hazeh, afshe in olam hazeh miyuchad lehem." Somehow, Klal Yisrael never get destroyed in olam hazeh, even though olam hazeh is not miyuchad for them. Mikol mokem ipnei ki olam hazeh nivra b'shvil olam haba, lachen yesh lehem kiyem b'olam hazeh. So let's explain these helga words of the Ramal a bit. HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the world in a way where every nivra that was created reaches its length. An apple that grows on a tree reaches its length. And a flower, if you let it grow, you don't cut it down, it reaches its length. Every single nivra in this old world reaches its length. The only nivra, or the only thing in this world, in Olam Hazeh, that never reaches its length is Am Yisrael. And why is that? So it explains the Maral with a very profound yisod. Because of the Vadaya, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created everything in a way that it should reach its length. And therefore, everything that reaches its shleimus down here, Olam Hazeh, it means that's it. It's not heading for a greater shleimus. If Klal Yisrael never reached their shleimus, Olam Hazeh, we find them throughout history, even when they get close to their shleimus, suddenly they're pushed away. Somehow there's a koach that's preventing them from reaching their shleimus. Why is that? The answer is, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Bria in a way that everything has to reach its shleimus, and Klal Yisrael doesn't reach its shleimus down here in Olam Hazeh, it must be that this is not their place to reach their shleimus, and that's the koach that's preventing them from reaching their shleimus here. So therefore they must be heading to reach a shleimus elsewhere, not in Olam Hazeh. but in Olam Haba. So therefore, the maskana is that when we look at the Umas Olam and we see their unbelievable success in this world and we see their power in this world, it's just really showing their demise. When we see their shleimus, we see their demise as well. It's an unbelievable chizuk. And Amish, we look in the history, we see that's exactly what happened. Who would ever dream that the Roman Empire could possibly come to an end? If we read Chazal, we read the Gemara Megillah and elsewhere, that discusses the koach and the power and the wealth of Rome, who would believe that it would ever come to an end? Mitzrayim, who would believe that the Egyptian Empire would ever come to an end? They reached such a shleimus. But if one looks at their shleimus wearing the right glasses, is there, and one doesn't see a shleimus, one sees their demise. One looks at Klal Yisrael's forlorn and forsaken history of being tortured and exiled from place to place. If one looks at it with all of their glasses, one says to oneself, oh, what a poor, unfortunate nation, not worth becoming part of them. Because look at them over here in Olam Hazeh. But if one wears the right glasses, if one sees that the tzoros of Klal Yisrael and Olam Hazeh is a shvach for them, is a mila for them, it shows that somehow they can't reach their shleimus. And therefore, if they can't reach their shleimus, but they must reach their shleimus, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created every nivra that it should reach their shleimus, it must be they are heading for a tkufa, a world beyond Olam Hazeh, where they're dafka, they'll reach their shleimus. And therefore, the goyim have nothing to be happy about their wealth and their victories and their shlit on Klal Yisrael. Shaker, it's just showing their demise, showing their nefila. Masha'inkin Klal Yisrael has plenty to be happy with that somehow they can't reach their shleimus in Olam Hazeh, because this is our chizuk for us that we're heading for the eternal world, the world of Olam Haba, where we met Hashem, we're going to continue our existence, will continue la'olam or la'netach netach. The emphasis is that this Yisod is the explanation on the Pasuk in Yirmiyah and Perek Lamed Pasuk Yudalos. Ki itcha ani, no Hashem, says Hashem, lo yishiyacha to save you, Klal Yisrael. Ki ese kol ha-bechol ha-goyim, asher hefitz l'slich ha-shom. Ach itcha lo yese kol ha-goyim. Shmoch Hu says, I'm going to destroy all the nations that cause you tzoros. But itcha, you, lo yese kol, I won't destroy you. V'yisaticha, the mishpot, I'll punish you, you do misdeeds, you do averes, I'll punish you. But chas v'shalom, itcha lo yese kol. That's the chiluk between us and Olam Ha'olam. There's two parts to this pasuk. There's one part of the pasuk which promises us that Olam Ha'olam that caused us tzoros will be destroyed. Second half of the pasuk is that all the tzoros that Klal Yisrael will go through, they'll still never get destroyed. Somehow they'll plow on. And this is an unbelievable chiluk for us. How comes we've survived so many goliaths? How comes we've survived so much torture? But the answer is because we're heading somewhere. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking us somewhere. And therefore the torture and the exile from place to place is only that we shouldn't get too comfortable in Olam Hazeh. Because chas v'shalom that we should reach our shleimus in Olam Hazeh. Chas v'shalom that we should be like the other nations that reach their shleimus, because then that's it. They don't exist, they don't go anywhere beyond that. But Klal Yisrael mustn't reach their shleimus because they're heading in a direction and they're plowing through and it's impossible. They're indestructible. However many powers have tried to destroy them, they're indestructible because they're heading somewhere, and the place that they're heading is a place where the emesik of shleimus is. The shleimus that doesn't lead to their demise, chas v'shalom, but the shleimus that's going to last lo'ilam or l'netach netzach. This is the Yisod, and this Yisod explains us bo'ifin nifla the whole idea of Mitzrayim and Yitzias Mitzrayim, because we know that all the Mitzrayim represents, symbolizes all the exiles and all the tzoros that the Klal Yisrael are going to go through with Meshach all the doyos. Because we know, even though Mitzrayim was the first golos, it's not considered, it's not reckoned amongst the Arba Golios, because Mitzrayim is a klolos of all the golos, and the Yitzia of Mitzrayim is a klolos of the Yitzia from all the golios, especially the Yitzia from the golos to Achron, the Yitzia that we're going to be zeiches and speedily nowadays in Mitzrayim. As the pasuk says, Kim emicha peg zayin, Kim eitzeischom yeretz Mitzrayim erenu niflois. And like the Medrash Rabbah says, that Kashem Shafachti is Mitzrayim, Kachani Hoifech HaMamlochot, Kashem Shosisi Lachem Achshav, Kachani Osid Lasid Lachem Lasid Lover. We see that Yitzias Mitzrayim corresponds to the Yitzia from all the Golias, especially the Yitzia from the Golas HaAchrim in Meherab Yameinu. And therefore we can see why the Pasuk is particular to say, by Yeshua Maim, by Kriyat Yamsa, by Yeshua Maim, by Chasus Arecha Vesapar Hashem, Lechol Chel Parah Abom Achrem Bayam, Loi Nishar Bohem Ad Echad. There wasn't one Egyptian that remained. And like the Nusach HaTfilah, by Chasu Maim Yisrael, Echad Mehem Loi Noisa. Why are we stressing that even one didn't survive, and if one soldier soaking wet shivering would have escaped from the Yam Suf, would that have meant that our victory would have been any less? Would that have meant that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's koyach has chas v'shalom been limited? What's the Indian? Why is there a stress that even one goy didn't survive from the Mitzrayim? But the answer is because this is symbolizing what's going to go on in the Achrus Hayomim. When it says, Ki Esek Kola B'chol HaGoyim Asher Fitzvech Hashem, Yitzis Mitzrayim corresponds to the utter destruction of all the goyim lost in love that caused Torah to Klal Yisrael. And because Yitzis Mitzrayim symbolizes this, therefore Yitzis Mitzrayim had to be a Bechina where Echad Mehem Loi Noisam. And this explains us in a fascinating way the profound message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu relate to Avraham Avinu and the Bris Ben Hatzlon. Firstly, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Avraham that he was going to have children, Pasuk says in Parshas Lech Lecha, Perek Tes Vav, Pasuk Hey, Vayoyitzi Oysa Achutza, Vayoyimeh Habed No Hashemayim Osvar Kechovim, Im Tucha Lispar Oysa, Vayoyimeh Loi Koi Yezarach. So when Hashem says to Avram, Chabed no Hashemayim, Rashi points out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Avram Avinu, Hoitziyo Mechalal Shal Oilam, Vigbiya Lemaal Amin HaKechofim, Vzeo Lashon Habotam Lemaal Lemaal. So the promise of Avram that he's going to have children, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took him out, Mechalal Shal Oilam. Why? And then Avram, HaKadosh Baruch Hu continues talking to Avram and he says, Vayim Eli Avram Yedea Teta Ki Gei Yezerach HaBeretz Loi Lehem Vavodim Hino Yisam Abba Meishonu. That your nation is going to be, the nation that's going to come from Yitzchak, from your child, is going to be tortured and is going to be afflicted and is going to be subdued 400 years. Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling Avraham Avinu? Isn't he trying to comfort Avraham Avinu that he's going to have a child after so many years? Why does Avraham Avinu now have to hear about the Torah that his children are going to go to? Continues the pasuk, Hashem continues, V'gam mefagoy asher yevoidu don anoichi. But don't worry, Avraham Avinu. All the nations that caused Torah, don anoichi, I'll judge. V'gam, says Rashi, says refers to all the dalal malchias, all the goyim that are ever going to cause Torah and Klal Yisrael are going to go through HaKadosh Baruch Hu's judgment and be destroyed. V'achreichen yitzu b'rechush gadol. Eventually, Klal Yisrael will leave b'rechush gadol. So what's this whole message to Avraham? Why does he have to hear about the Torah? What does Avraham Avinu care about whether the goyim will be judged, the goyim won't be judged? The ikkar is that his children, that he shouldn't have to go through any Torah. Like a bechin of lemi oktzach, lemi dubshach, don't put them in the Torah. Don't let the nations gain power over them, and don't destroy the nations. But according to what we're saying now, we understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's profound message to Avraham Avinu. Avraham, when I promise you that you're going to have children, I have to take you out, Michalol Shalom. You have to leave Olam Hazeh, because the children that you're going to have don't belong in Olam Hazeh. They won't reach their shleimus in Olam Hazeh. But the reason why they won't reach their shleimus in Olam Hazeh is because they are elevated from Olam Hazeh. Higbir lemalam in HaKechovim. Hashem raises Avraham Avinu, lifts him up higher than HaKechovim. That's where your children belong. That's where they are rooted. Lemalam in Olam Hazeh and lemalam in the Tzvah Shemayim even. And therefore, even though they're going to live in Olam Hazeh, but Kigei is a Rachaber, it's Leilahem. They won't live in Olam Hazeh in term as a yeshivas keva, as citizens of Olam Hazeh. They're always going to remain strangers because they belong somewhere higher than Olam Hazeh. They belong higher in Mechalal Shalom. And therefore, vavodim menuaisim, they'll suffer, they'll be persecuted to make sure that they won't reach their shleimus in Olam Hazeh. However, the goyim that will persecute them, they're going to be given the chance to reach an unbelievable shleimus in Olam Hazeh. But that shleimus is only their demise. And therefore, that's why Hashem continues, the gamas ha-goyah she-yavoidu, don anoichi. And eventually, when they finish the Olam Hazeh, Yetzir Rechush Gadol, Kol Yisrael will be Zoicha to the Rechush Gadol, to the Chai Olam, not Abbasachinu, to the eternal life, La'olam Lenetzach Nitzach. So this message of Bris Ben Hatzorim was the message of the Maral coming and the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, that there's going to be two paths, the Goyim that have reached their Shlemis Olam Hazeh, and that's where they end, and Yisrael that don't reach their Shlemis Olam Hazeh, and that's why they continue. Hashem was revealing to Avraham Avinu the mila of Klal Yisrael over here, and not Chas V'Shalom the Chesaron. And that we explained, that we discussed it another time, and that explains the whole Indian of Maschil and Begnus, Messiah and Beshvach, because Maschil and Begnus is from Avodim Ha'inu, according to one opinion. Avodim Ha'inu, the power of the Mitzrayim, that's our Gnus, or Messiah and Beshvach, but eventually, when we get taken out, is then it's all Nizgala, that the fact that we were Avodim was really Shvach, only to show that we never got on in Olam Hazeh because we were heading for something greater. So it's not Shach Maschil and Begnus, you begin with actual Gnus, or Messiah and Beshvach, but you end with Shvach. But even after you've ended the Shvach, the Haskala was still Gnus. No, when you end with Shvach, it's Nizgala retroactively that the Maschil and Begnus wasn't Gnus anymore, it was only Shvach. It was only when we see ourselves being taken into Olam Habon Meretz Hashem, we'll realize and we'll understand that the fact that we were Avodim was also a Shvach, it wasn't even a Gnus. So with that, we can come back now to Sefer Shmoyz, to Parsha Shmoyz, and we can begin understanding what's going on. Firstly, we can begin understanding how Moshe Rabbeinu began his life. Let's look in for a second what Moshe Rabbeinu represents. We know that there's, for example, Zayin Ashpizin on Sukkot, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, David. We know there are Zayin Midas, we mention them every day. Lecha Hashem, Agdula, Vagvura, Vateferet, Vanetzach, Vahoid, and Yisoid, and Midas Malchus. The fourth of the Ashpizin is Moshe. The fourth Midah is Netzach. Moshe Rabbeinu corresponds to the Midah of Netzach. And it's Yidua that Moshe Rabbeinu, who are Goyel Rishon, say Chazal, who are Goyel Achroin. And the Medrash Rabba says, Perik Mem, the Heviyu Loi, the Sifra Shaladim Rishon, the Boto Avi, to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Sefer of Adam Rishon, the Heri Loi, Kol Adoyeret, Shem Asidin Lam, and Mi, Bereshes, Ad, Chiyas, Amesim. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Midah of Netzach, which is the Midah of eternity, which is also the Midah of Nitzachon, to plow through and to enable us to reach the Netzach, to reach eternity. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu has Shaychus to all the Doyrus. Mi Bereshis Ad Chiyas Hamis. Moshe Rabbeinu is Shaykh to that Olam HaNivdo, to that Olam Haba. And therefore he is the goal of Yisrael from Olam HaZeh, and he is the one who marches us into Olam Haba. And therefore he is the one to take us out of Mitzrayim, because Mitzrayim corresponds to Olam HaZeh. And Moshe Rabbeinu takes us out of Olam HaZeh, takes us out and leads us with the Koyach and Kedusha of Moshe Rabbeinu. He leads us all the way till Olam Haba. Rav Tzadik says in Pri Tzadik that Bechinas Moshe Rabbeinu Hu Sheyusha HaKadusha B'Poyel B'chol Nefashet Yisrael L'Netzach O'L'Oil Me'ad Al-Yedei HaTorah HaKadosh Adachai O'Ilam Notah B'Sachinu. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu is the one to show us that we don't belong over here in Olam HaZeh. He's the one to show us the path that leads us all the way to the Netzach. He's the one who shows us not to be nispoiled from anything that goes on around us in Olam HaZeh. He's the one who shows us that Kvali Shol don't belong in Olam HaZeh, and they're not supposed to look for to reach Shleimus in Olam HaZeh, because they are reaching Shleimus in Ritz Hashem, they're Shleimus in Olam HaBoh. And Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who constantly pounds us with this message, and that's why he represents the mid of Netzach, and that's the mid of Nitzachon, the Emesik and Nitzachon, that Kvali Shol are going to come out, Liyasad Lavoi, when all the Goyim who caused and sorrows will be destroyed, and they'll be the only surviving ones. And therefore he keeps us surviving through Olam HaZeh with the Heilige Torah Kedoshah, which he brought down, and with that Torah Kedoshah that leads us all the way in Metz Hashem to Olam Haba. So basically Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who corresponds to this whole message of the Maral and to the Pasuk of Yirmiyah that we discussed earlier. So if that's the case, then firstly we understand in the most profound way why Moshe Rabbeinu Dafka had to be raised and had to grow up in the peak of Olam HaZeh, in Paroi's palace. In fact, he's also considered almost a child of Paroi, and even the leading, he was the head of Paroi's palace. Because Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who has to preach that Olam HaZeh and the Shleimus in Olam HaZeh is not something that we're supposed to pursue, it's something that we're supposed to run away from. And therefore he had to Dafka grow up in the lap of luxury, in the greatest luxury, at his Shleimus in Olam HaZeh, in order to show us that he practices what he preaches and he runs away from that Shleimus. And where does he run to? He runs to Klal Yisrael. He runs Vaya, Vayetzei, Lochi, Vaya, Besev Loisom. And the Medrash says, Hayonaisen, Ksefu, Messiah, Lacholechon, Vechon, Nehem, Moshe Rabbeinu corresponds to leaving the Shleimus of Olam HaZeh and going down to Sev Loisom, into Avdus in Olam HaZeh. Because that's exactly what he's representing. He's the Koyachon Netzach. He's the Koyachon that tells us, don't look for Shleimus. And if you do have Shleimus in Olam HaZeh, don't look at it. You've reached your Shleimus. Chas V'Shalom, that's a dangerous feeling. One must always seek the ones who are don't reach their Shleimus in Olam HaZeh. Cling to them, and then eventually one will reach our Shleimus, the Emistik of Shleimus of El Olam LeNetzach. When Moshe is still in the base Paroi, Moshe feels the demise. Moshe doesn't see the Shleimus of Paroi. Moshe sees Paroi's demise because he's reached the Shleimus already. Moshe sees the next step, the step of Paroi's destruction, when he sees that Paroi's reached the Shleimus in Olam HaZeh. When he sees Klal Yisrael out the window, so then he sees the nation that are not reaching the Shleimus in Olam HaZeh, but are heading for the everlasting Shleimus. Why he decided that it's a long-term investment, so to speak, to leave Paroi's palace, which is a short-lived investment, and to join Klal Yisrael, which is the Netzach, and that's exactly what he represents. He looked at Paro's shleimus. He saw the Eser Kola b'chol ha-goyim. When he saw the Avdus of Klal Yisrael, he saw Itchel lo Eser Kola, the two parts of the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Moshe's got his Netzach glasses on, and he sees everything. What are they going to be, and what are they going to look like in the Netzach? And for that, he runs away from Paro's palace, because he sees that they have no Shaychus to Netzach, and he clings to Yisrael because they have Shaychus to Netzach. And Dafke, their Avdus, their slavery, is proving more than anything else that they have their Netzach, and this Avdus is only leading them to their Netzach and preventing them from reaching their Shleimus in Olam Hazeh, where their Chas V'Sham, they would be cut off from Netzach. That's the message of Vayetze Elechov. And then he sees a Mitzri smiting a Jew. When he sees again the Mitzri on top of the Jew, is again with his same glasses, he sees the demise of this Mitzri, and he sees the Netzach of the Jew. He sees the words Esek Kola B'chol HaGoyim imprinted on this Mitzri. He watches this Mitzri beating a Jew B'Shleima, that he's reached the Shleimus, and he sees the Esek Kola, because he's wearing his Midas on Netzach glasses. And therefore, in order to show this, is Moshe Rabbeinu Vayachis HaMitzri. Moshe Rabbeinu bought this Esek Kola B'chol HaGoyim. He bought this Nevuah that Hashem will destroy the Goyim, a persecuted Klal Yisrael. Moshe bought this Nevuah earlier, and therefore killed him B'Shem HaMafoyrash, which means that it was really HaKadosh Baruch who killed him. It was really the Kiyum of the Pasuk of Esek Kola B'chol HaGoyim that killed this Mitzri. It wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu physically killed this Mitzri, because then it would have been a battle between the Moshe and the Mitzri. But here Moshe Rabbeinu is bringing out, being the Gala, the Esek Kola B'chol HaGoyim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to destroy the Mitzri, and therefore kill this Mitzri with the Shema Mefoyrish. The Esek Kola B'chol HaGoyim, so to speak, kill this Mitzri. And therefore, Dafka over here, Moshe Rabbeinu looked through to see whether he was going to have any descendants that were going to be Megaya. Because this form of killing him was the Netzach form of killing him, was Liyasid Lavoi form of killing him. If you want to kill a person with a din of Liyasid Lavoi, so then you've got to make sure that he's going to remain the way he is now, right until Liyasid Lavoi. But if in somewhere on the way there's going to be a Ger, so that you can't bring the judgment of Liyasid Lavoi now already. You see, therefore, that's why Dafka over here, there's a special din that Moshe looked through all the generations, and he saw that the way this mystery is now, that's the way it's going to remain to Liyasid Lavoi, and therefore he's shaykh to the punishment of Liyasid Lavoi, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu bought that pasuk of Esek Kola B'chol HaGoyim early and killed him now. That's the mid of Netzach of Olam Haba that Moshe Rabbeinu represents. And the Emes says, before we move on, we can add on a few pratim to understand and to illustrate the madrig, this madrig of Netzach that Moshe Rabbeinu had, in a better way. Because Parsha Shmois begins Ve'ele Shmois. Ve'ele Shmois is Vav Moisa Baleni Rishon. So therefore there must be a connection between Parshas Vayechi and Parshas Shmois. And according to what we're saying now, that the Parshas Shmois is the Parsha of Golos, but because Moshe Rabbeinu is born in Parshas Shmois, so therefore within the Golos of Parshas Shmois, it had to be in this Gala, the Olam Haba, the Netzach, what the Middle of Moshe Rabbeinu represents, that he's born in this week's Parsha. And that's why Ve'ele continues from Vayechi, and Vayechi is the parsha of Olam Haba, as we discussed. Vayechi Yaakov, the parsha where there's no mace, there's no misa anymore. It's all Olam Haba. It's a parsha stuma, parsha Vayechi, because Chazal say, the Gemara says that Chol Anavim leNisnabu Ela leMoitz Mashiach, Aval Ayin Olam Haba Ayin leRos leKim Zulasechem, which means the Olam Haba is the Alma of stuma. So therefore, Vayechi is the stuma, and it's not parsha Vayechi that figures Yaakov leGalas Zakeit. Parsha Vayechi is the parsha of the Kate, it's the parsha of the Yosid Lovay, and then Ve'ele, bringing the Kate into Parshas Vayeshmois, bringing the Kate, bringing the Yosid Lovay into the Golos, into Olam Hazeh. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu represents. Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who had the koyach to bring the parsha Vayechi into Parshas Shmois, into the Golos, to show the Netzach and to show the Chizuk, the Klal Yisrael, that the harder it is in Golos, the more they have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for it, because the more it's showing and stopping them from reaching their Shleimus in Olam Hazeh. And that's why in this week's parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu was born. Says Rashi, Nismale Habayis Kule Oira. Vayayis Akitoiv, Toiv is Oir, like it says, Vayalakim is Oir Kitoiv. And Moshe Rabbeinu was born, the whole house became full of light. And this is a Gilui, says Swamak Toshim, of the Gilui of the Oir Agonas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, there was a light, a blinding light, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu hid that light to Lossid Lovoy. And because this week's parasha within Golas Mitzrayim, there's going to be this Gale, a middle of Netzach, somebody who represents the middle of Netzach that takes Klal Yisrael till Olam Haba. Therefore, when Moshe Rabbeinu was born, there was this Gilui of Olam Haba of Nismale Abayis Kulei Oiro. And that's why the Pasuk says back in this week's Pasha, when she hid him, Titzpineu. Titzpineu is a Lashon Tzofen, to hide. Moshe Rabbeinu's Madrega is a Madrega that's hidden. But it was Nisgale a bit in Pasha's Shmoy, just to give us the Chizuk. But the Olam HaOseid, it's hidden. So Titzpineu Shloshi Racha. Moshe Rabbeinu's Madrega is a hidden Madrega. But Moshe's Nagale is Madrega in so much to give us the Chizuk, the small amount, the tip of Minayam of his Madrega. Madriga to inter, that we should internalize that all our Torahs are only for the good and only leading us to the Netzach. So that's Sefer Shmat Pasha Shmois, in one hand the Golas, but on the other hand the message of the Golas, the glasses, the Netzach glasses that Moshe Rabbeinu allows us to wear during the Golas, to see that the Golas is only leading us to the Bechin of Netzach. And that's the connection between Vayechi and Shmois, and that's the idea of the Leda of Moshe Rabbeinu in Golas, growing up in Paris Palace, growing up in the greatest Olam Hazeh, but leaving the Olam Hazeh and clinging to the Avodim, to the slaves who are heading for Olam Haba. With that we can continue and we can understand why Dothan and Aviron were so opposed to Moshe Rabbeinu and the Yom Malchon of Moshe Rabbeinu. Because if we look through in Torah, we see that Dothan and Aviron were troublemakers whenever it came to a Bechina of Netzach, whenever it came to a Bechina of Olam Ha'osid, is that's where they always complained. And that's why Rashi says over here in this week's parasha, Shnei Anoshim Nitzim, Dothan Aviron, says Rashi, Heim Shei Siru Min Hamon. Why does Rashi mention Dafka, this prat over here, that they left over the mon? Because it's Yadua that the mon corresponds to the Achila Ruchness of Olam Haba. Like Rabbi Tzadik says, Lachain Sidru Chazal HaMa'amorim Me'inyin Hamon B'Perek Yom HaKippurim Ki Achila Samon Hu Mamish Dugma Satan Es De Yom HaKippurim Sha'akavona Boy Lizkois Al Yidei Zeh Lachila Ruchness to Olam Haba. That's in the Sefer Machshev Eschoret from Rabbi Tzadik HaKoyim Zchus HaYoven Aleinu. In other words, Rabbi Tzadik explained that the Tanis of Yom HaKippurim is not some a Tanis, it's a Bechina where Klal Yisrael don't need Achila V'Shtiyah, like the Gemara says that Olam Haba Ein Boy La'Achila V'Shtiyah. Yom HaKippurim is where we stand in the Bechina of Olam Haba. That's why we go, the Kohen goes lefnai v'lefnim, he goes into Madrigas that he doesn't delve into throughout the year. Yom Kippur is the Bechina of Olam Haba, and the Agadat HaGemara on the mon are all in that perek of Perek Yom HaKippur to teach us that Klal Yisrael eating the mon was mamish a dugma of the Achila of Olam Haba of L'Asad Lavoi. That's why if the mon corresponds to the life, the daily sustenance of L'Asad Lavoi, we can understand why the parasha of the mon in the Torah is also in parasha of B'Shalach after the Shiras Hayom, because at the Shiras Hayom we said Oz Yosher, and Rashi says there Shar Leinem Ala Yoshim Ikan Remez L'Tchias HaMeitzim in HaTorah. So the Shira begins with Tchias HaMeitzim, the Shira Sayam ends with Hashem Yimloich Le'olam Voed HaKlal Yisrael saw the Le'olam Voed, the Netzach, the eternity that they offered Lovoi. They saw Tchias HaMeitzim at the beginning and Olam Haba at the end of the Shira, and then after that comes the Parsha of the Mon, because the Parsha of the Mon is connected to the Bechina of Olam Haba, as we just said. So if Dothan Vavirin complained, and if they were Poigim in the Mitzvah and the Madrigo of the Mon, that means that Dothan Vavirin are Poigim in the Madrigo of L'Asad Lavoi. Dothan Vavirin want to make the Shlita of Olam Hazeh the Eka Shlita. They don't want this message that we're going to have to go through hardships, but this is all preventing us from reaching our Shlemus. This whole Ashkafa that we mentioned earlier, that's what they opposed. They wanted to see their Atzlocha down here in Olam Hazeh. They wanted to live a life of Mitzrayim. They wanted to see their Shlemus immediately. They didn't want to live a life on the Madrigo of Ammon. They didn't want this Bechina that Moshe Rabbeinu kills a mitzvah, the Shem of Mathoyer, she's bringing the Achas Ayomim, he's bringing Olam Haba, and killing somebody with that Madrigo of L'Asid Lavei. They were against the whole Marechet of Olam Haba. And therefore, that's why they complained about the Mon, and that's why they complained over here by Moshe Rabbeinu. They joined on later to the Machlekes of Korach, because the Gemara said, the Mishnah says in Sanhedrin, that Anshei Korach, Adaf Korach, Ein Lam Chelek, L'Olam Haba. Because Adaf Korach argued with Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu represents the Midah of Netzach. Whoever is Poigim in Moshe Rabbeinu's Midah of Netzach doesn't last the Netzach. And therefore, Adaf Korach, Ein Lam Chelek, L'Olam Haba. That's what they're looking for. That's what Dothan Aviron are looking for. They're looking for to reach their Shlemus in Olam Hazeh, and not in Olam Haba. And therefore, they represented Mamish Mitzrayim's message versus Moshe Rabbeinu. So there's a battle going on over here. On one hand, Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to be Mo'edid Klal Yisrael, to encourage Klal Yisrael that the slavery of God that they're going to go through is only preparing them for the Achrich and Yetzer Baruch Hu Shgadol, to the Chaim, to the Torah, to the Netzach. Mashen Gedosim Avir, and they're trying to push through Mitzrayim's Ashkofa that we want to live in a palace over in Olam Hazeh, we want a good life in Olam Hazeh, because Olam Hazeh is the Ikka, we're not interested in a bad life in Olam Hazeh to wait until we promise that in the future it's going to be good. But Moshe had proven his point by killing the Mitzri with the Shema Mephoresh. Moshe had proven, as we said earlier, the Kiesa Kola B'chol Agoyin that's going to take place, L'Ofid Lovey. But Dothan Aviron now wanted to get Moshe Rabbeinu killed, to show that Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't represent Netzach, to show that Moshe Rabbeinu can also get killed, in order to show, to take away, to erase this message that Moshe was trying to relay to Klal Yisrael, and that's where they were malshin to Paroi. And Paroi had Moshe Rabbeinu arrested. But the Pasuk says, Moshe. Rashi says that they gave him over, they gave Moshe over to the executioner. In other words, this execution or this attempt execution to execute Moshe Rabbeinu, to behead Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu's neck became so hard that the knife couldn't cut it. This was the key of the other half of the pasuk of Yirmiyahu. Itchalo yesakala, Klal Yisrael are indestructible. So Dothan Avirin ended up giving the message and relaying and proving the message that they were trying to erase and to hide. They were trying to erase the Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't belong to Netzach, doesn't represent Netzach, and Moshe Rabbeinu represented Netzach in front of all the Egyptians in the most unbelievable way, but that it was impossible to execute him. And now it's time has come for Moshe Rabbeinu to flee Mitzrayim. But Moshe Rabbeinu didn't flee from Mitzrayim until he had proven his point, until he had brought out the whole pasuk of Yirmiyahu out into the open. The Eser Kala B'chol HaGoyim, by killing the Mitzri B'Shem HaMefoyrish, showing that Klal Yisrael or the Netzach, you can't destroy them. That's when he faced the execution block. And having proven both these parts of the pasuk, the Eser Kala B'chol HaGoyim and the Itchaloy Eser Kala, Moshe Rabbeinu now flees. And now let's continue, let's go on from here to Midian, and we'll see how all this continues, and the whole Nesiyah to Midian underlines this point in the most unbelievable way. What are the origins of Midian? Where did Midian come from? So it's Yidua that Midian was a son of Hogar. As the pasuk says in Bereishis Perek Chof Hei, VaYosef Avram VaYikach Isha Shmo Keturah VaTeved Lo Zimron VaYokshan VaMidon VaEf Midian. And Rashi says there that Keturah Zu Hogar VeNikras Keturah Al Shem Shenoim Maser KeKtoires, that she represented, Hogar represented Ketoires. VeShekosha Pitzchos LeLizdavka LeOdam MiYom Shepir Shem Avram. Hogar remained loyal and she didn't marry anybody else, and now she got remarried to Avram. Now, who was Hogar? So we know now that Keturah is Hogar. But who was Hogar? What were Hogar's origins? Is that the pasuk says in Bereishis Perek Tezayin that Vesora Eshet Avram Lo Yolda Lo Velo Shifcha Mitzris Oshma Hogar. Hogar was a Shifcha Mitzris, a Mitzris. She was a maidservant from Mitzrayim. Now Rashi says over there that Hogar was really Bas Paroi Hoysa. When Paroi saw the Nisim that Hashem made to Sorah, Omar Mutov Shetihe Biti Shivcha Babayis Zeh, better that my daughter, the princess Hogar, should leave my house and become a Shivcha in Avram's house, Veloi Gevira Babayisach, and not a princess by me. So Hogar represents somebody who grew up in Paroi's palace, a daughter of the king, who was sent to become a Shivcha, a maidservant by the Jew, by Avram Avinu the Yid. And this is the most fascinating thing, as we'll see. So Hogar became a Shivcha of Avram, but Lemaisa Hogar was still a Shivcha Mitzris. And if it took time for Hogar to reach her Tikkun, at the beginning she had a Yishmael. At the beginning it wasn't Hogar B'tikuna, it was Hogar from Paris Palace, Hogar from Olam Hazeh, Hogar that doesn't represent belonging to the Jewish nation, which is beyond Olam Hazeh. And therefore she was sent away, Sarah sent her away. She doesn't belong to the Am HaNetzach. She had a Yishmael, but eventually she came back and she married Avram. And by this time, when she remarried Avram, her name was Keturah, Al Shem Keturah, as we mentioned. And Keturah, we know, is the Reach of Gan Eden, as it's brought down in the Medrash and Shea Shirim. And we know the halacha is that the B'nai Keturah, Omechoyev, Mitzvah Mila, and the Rambam Paskins, and Perig Yud Hilchas Melochim, Hamila Nitzavah Bavram, the Zare Bilvad, Yotzo Zare Shel Yishmol, Omr Chachomim, Shebeni Keturah, Shem Zare Shel Avram, Shebo Acha Yishmol, the Yitzchok, Chayovim Bemila. Minchaschinach Mitzvah Beis even brings the Shah Melech, who holds that the Shittas of Rambam is that the Bnei Keturah can even be a Moel. Why? Because they are Mitzvah and Mila, and therefore they can be a Moel. So you see that Bnei Keturah, Mechoyev, and Mila, and Mila we know represents to the life beyond Olam Hazeh. Therefore Mila is the Yom HaShmini, the eighth day that corresponds to Olam Haba. Eliyahu is the Malach HaBris, and Eliyahu is the one who's Mevasa the Geula. So the Kisa Shel Eliyahu by Mila is a remez to the Geula that the Mitzvah of Mila represents. Through Marach elsewhere about this sugya. To do the part of the Mishnah in Birkei Avos, Hamefer Brisa Shel Avram Avinu Ein Lechelak Olam Haba, because Mila is Kula Olam Haba. Somebody's Mefer Brisa Ein Lechelak Olam Haba. Mitzvah Mila is a bechin of lasid lovoi. Keturah now, having remarried Avraham Avinu, now Keturah was representing the chelek of Olam Haba, which means now Keturah Hoga was really representing that shlichus that she was sent from her father, from being a princess in Olam Hazeh, to becoming part of Avraham Avinu's family, who is Vavodim Ve'inu Oysam Olam Hazeh, but only to lead to Olam Haba. And then this is the Meforish of Medrash Tanchuma on the Pasuk Vayesev Avraham, Ayikach Isha, Shmo Keturah, is the Medrash Tanchuma says the following words, Oma HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ba'olam Hazeh, HaTzadikim, Elidim Toivim, Ve'Rom, Avala Olam Haba, Kulam Yiyu Tzadikim, La'olam Yiyu She'oretz, Neitza Matoai. So you see the Keilu, this idea of remarrying Keturah has a remez to the Bechin of Olam Haba. And according to what we're saying, it's Mamish Nerev and Niflet. Because the second time she married Avraham, it was Niskayim, the idea of going to becoming a Shifchan Olam Hazeh, to be Zoicha to Olam Haba, and don't remain a princess in Mitzrayim, don't remain a princess in Olam Hazeh, because that's not leading anywhere. So Mela, seeing that Midian was the son of Keturah, who was Hagar, but Hagar Batikun, and Mela, therefore Midian must represent this Nakuda, that it's better in Olam to be an Eved in Olam Hazeh by Klal Yisrael than to be a prince in Olam Hazeh amongst the Goyim. So that explains us in this unbelievable way why Moshe Rabbeinu now fled to Midian, because Moshe Rabbeinu was brought up in the same way. He was mamish, it's an identical parallel. Moshe was brought up in Beis Paroi, grew up as a prince, he was in charge of the Beis Paroi. But Moshe Rabbeinu realized the same as Hogar realized, and the same as Paroi had realized at the time where he sent his daughter to become a maidservant by Avraham Avinu. Moshe that's now brought up in Beis Paroi also decides to become an Eved by the Jews rather than remaining a prince by the Goyim, by Paroi Melech Mitzrayim. So Moshe fits very well with going to Midian. But the Indian goes even deeper, because who was the Kohen Midian? Yisroi. And Rashi brings down over here that Rab Shebehen or Pirishloim Avoides Kechovim Venidu Meyetzlam. Yisroi was at the top, he was the Rabba de Midian. But Yisroi had something, a certain koach inside him that was telling him, don't become a king. Go away from Avoides Zohar, go away from Olam Hazeh. You should also belong to the Jews. It's better to be excommunicated from being a prince. It's better to become part of Klal Yisrael rather than remain a prince. And therefore, Takava Yishma Yisrael later in Parshas Yisrael, Rashi says there, "Vishvocha shel Yisrael akos medaber shal Yosher bechvoide shel olam v'nodu libay lotis elamid ba mokum toyu lishmoy adibrei Torah." It's exactly what Yisrael also did. From kvoide shel olam, kvoide shel olam azeh, he was not the libay to go into mid ba mokum toyu to join Klal Yisrael. It's unbelievable how these three elements all came together over here in Midian. Midian represents Keturah, that represents originating a princess in Paroi's palace, joining Klal Yisrael, becoming a shifcha by Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu fleeing to Midian, because that's exactly what happened to Moshe Rabbeinu. Grew up in Beis Paroi, became an Eved with the rest of Klal Yisrael, and that's why Yisrael was the Kohen Midian, because Yisrael also represents this soon that he gives it all up, he gives up the Kvodesh Aloylam in order to join Klal Yisrael and to become a Ger. And go even further than this, because Rashi in the Pasuk by Yishma Yisroi says, Mashmu Hashem Haba, Kriyas Yamsov Melchemes Amalek. What did he see by these two Nisim, the Kriyas Yamsov Melchemes Amalek? In other words, Yisroi must have heard a lot of things. Why Dafka these two are singled out? But the answer is because Kriyas Yamsov, we said earlier, corresponds to the Echod Mehem Loi Noisa, corresponds to Kiesa Kola Bechola Goyim Hashem Itzecha. He saw the end, he saw what happens beyond all Mazet to these nations. Melchemes Amalek, we know Bilam saw, and it's a Pasuk in Parshas Balak, that he saw Amalek's end. Reishis Goyim Amalek V'Acharisai Adei Oived. So the same, Amalek has the Acharisai Adei Oived. There's nothing left of them. Mochid Timche Zech Amalek. Even though they were princes and kings in a Golas Eden for 2,000 years, but eventually they get, there's nothing left of them. They reach their Shlemus and then they're dead. They erased. And Mamish, the same thing happened with Mitzrayim, the mighty Egyptian empire, which was also erased. He saw the end of who is Yosheh Bechvoide Shalolam. And therefore, when he is Yosheh Bechvoide Shalolam, he decided to get straight off his chair and to go down to Klal Yisrael and to join Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, because that's the only way that's going to get him to the Chaya Netzach. So therefore, now I'm ready to move on, having explained why Moshe fled to Midian, who was Midian, who was Yisroi, and how they all met together in Midian. Now let's turn to the names that Moshe Rabbeinu gave his two children. The first child he called Gershon, Hashem Ger HaYisi Be'eretz Nochriya. His Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't complaining over here, Chas V'Shalom, that saying Ger HaYisi Be'eretz Nochriya. He was bringing out the Maila of Klal Yisrael, that the Maila of Klal Yisrael manifests itself Dafka when they are Gerim Be'eretz Nochriya, when they're in Olam Hazeh. They should always remain Gerim in Olam Hazeh. There's no Kviyas for Klal Yisrael in Olam Hazeh, because Rahman and Islam, those that Kviyas in Olam Hazeh arrive at their end.
So they have a ger yisi beretz nachriyot corresponding to the bechina of being a ger in olam hazeh, and that's the key and the secret to the to arriving to the Amar Netzach.
Only
when we are gerim in this world do we go beyond, and are we indestructible? And that's the second son that he called Eliezer, which was kelekeo vibezri v'atzileni mecher paroi. That showed how indestructible he was, that paroi couldn't kill him, he couldn't chop his head off. So the gerish and Eliezer is basically the same inyan. Ger yisi is teaching you how to become the Amar Netzach. And Eliezer, and that's by being Gera Yisi Beretz Nachriya. And Eliezer is teaching us that once you are a Gera in Olam Hazeh, then you reach the Olam Netzach, and one is indestructible in Olam Hazeh, and that is Klal Yisrael, and that's the Vayatzileni Mecherev Parah, is showing how indestructible he is. Always remain a Ger, Bechinas Gershain, Klal Yisrael Olam Hazeh, always have to remember to be Gerim, and then they can move on to Eliezer, then they'll see that they plow through all the Tzoras and they're indestructible. These two names are one is Inyan, and it's mamish the same Inyan of Klal Yisrael remaining Ara in Olam Hazeh and moving on to the Tachlis of La'asid in Olam Haba, the Omas Olam reaching their Kviyas in Olam Hazeh, and therefore they have nothing to look forward to in the future. Now let's move on to the next part of the parasha, and that's the snare. And according to what we're saying now, we can understand the whole inyan of the snare, because by the snare, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham, told Moshe Rabbeinu, "Boy tziyaches om hazeh v'mitzrayim tavdun esolekim ala hor hazeh." Matan Torah. The purpose of the snare was to show Moshe Rabbeinu that Klal Yisrael are going to be mekabel the Torah, and the Torah is be'emes Klal Yisrael's netzach. Asher nason lanu Torah be'emes v'chayei oylam nota b'secheinu. Torah is kihem chayeinu. That tzachi is nitzchi of Klal Yisrael. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu represents, because he brought the Torah down to us. And like Reb Tzadik, the Heilige Reb Tzadik says that Bechinas Moshe Rabbeinu Hu Sheyushar Kedusha Bepoel Bechol Nefashas Yisrael LeNetzach Al Yedei HaTorah Kedusha. And that's exactly what he saw by the snare. That even though the fire was burning and the fire was raging, nevertheless, hasneh enenu ukol. Even though Klal Yisrael go through tzoras and go through golus, but it's enenu ukol. They are the indestructible nation. And all this took place in Har HaChorev and Har Sinai. And therefore we understand why it's called the Chorban Lomas Oilom, because with the netzach of Klal Yisrael is Nizgale, the Tavdin is Elokim al Har HaZeh, Har Sinai, the Torah, which is Torah Chaim HaNetzach, the netzach of Klal Yisrael is Nizgale, then the demise of the Lomas Oilom is Nizgale. Because all that one pasuk, ki itcha ani no'om Hashem lo yishiyacha, ki yasa kola b'chol ha-goyim, ach itcha lo yasa kola. That's why Hasina is called Har Chayreva, Shiyor the Churban Lomas Oilom. It's the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael that keeps them lo'olam netzach netzachim, as we quoted earlier from the Maral. Nefesh shalno lechem al madrecha, ki ha-mokam ashut at ha-oimed olav ad-mas koideshu. This Kedusha in Klal Yisrael, it doesn't enable them to find it.